a question that people ask of, you know, how do I know how to live? You know, what's the right way to live? So many times there's choices that we have of looking at things and being like, you know, what's right or wrong in life? You know, so many times you're looking at the weather or the news, you're not so much the weather. Weather means wrong all the time. We'll just give them that. But at the news, and you're thinking, scratching your head, it's like, you know, who do you believe anymore? There's so many things, so many voices, so many people out there saying these things, and then you get, okay, well, how do I supposed to live? This person says I'm supposed to go this way. This person says I'm supposed to go this way. What's right? What's wrong anymore? And so many times we get so confused. And that's what we want to kind of look at, a passage of scripture today from Psalm 119. Now, if you know Psalm 119, if you know your Bible, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Good news is we won't be looking at all 176 verses today. So that's the, that's good. But Psalm 119 is one of those passages of scripture where when you read through the sections, in fact, Psalm 119 is what is called an alphabetic poem. And in fact, the book of Psalms, you know, we're here at a music festival at the Bluegrass Bass, where you've enjoyed some great music, and you'll continue to enjoy great music all today. The Psalms, the book of Psalms, was the original, what I call the original hymn book of the Old Testament. That as the Jewish people would go into the temple, as they would go and worship God there in Jerusalem, and that was the only place that they could go and worship God, because that was what God said in the Old Testament. If you want to worship me, you have to go to the temple in Jerusalem, and as they were there, they would be singing these psalms. Now we would think, and we actually listened to them, and as they would sing, we would scratch our heads and be like, that's not entirely singing. Because we think singing like what we just heard, like I Fly Away, or the other groups that you've heard all weekend, where we would consider what they did back in the Old Testament more chanting. And you can Google Jewish rabbis chant, and you can hear the Psalms chanted through on the internet still. And to this day, the Jewish people still will sing the Psalms. But it's as they went and as they praised God, as they worshiped God there at that temple, they would sing these songs. And then you think about the Psalms, the book of Psalms, you have some that are very high emotionally, where you're praising God because he's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords. And then you have these deep, we want to say depressive Psalms, where they ask the tough question, like as Jesus asked, my God, why have you forsaken me? Comes from Psalm 22. David asks over and over again, God, don't you care? Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care what I'm surrounded by enemies? I'm about to be at the end of my life. Don't you care? And how he works through those emotions. And as he, again, fixes his eyes, and that's why all those hard psalms are those, ask those tough questions of God, where in word are you? God, where do you, why have you forsaken me? God, where, don't you care about what's happening in my life? At the end of those psalms, they always respond, God, you are king. You're in control. You are the one that I'm serving. In Psalm 119, even though it's the longest psalm, even though it has sections of 8 verses, and each of them deal, if you open your English Bibles and you read Psalm 119, you would not see this. But in the Hebrew, that every single 8-verse section starts with a different, or first 8 verses, every single word begins the line with the Hebrew letter A, or Alpha. And then the next section gets with the letter B, what we call Bet, and then Gamil, and then and so forth, all the way through the entire Hebrew alphabet. And the reason why the psalmist writes Psalm 119, and the reason why he writes all of this humongous psalm that is the longest chapter in the Bible is to remind us the importance of God's word in our lives. To remind us that that we need because of there's so many people out there telling us what to do. We gotta have something to ground us. We have to have something to understand this is true and this is wrong. This is what I'm basing my life upon, and this is wrong, not true. I want to read the second section, which is the bet section of Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And again, the psalmist asks that question, if I want to live right, if I want to live a life that at the end of my life, I know that my life counted for something, where I don't have regrets, what does that look like? The psalmist says this, how can a person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And so that very first verse, he asked that question, how can a person's life turn out right? How does a person know how to live in a way that is right, in a way, ultimately, Bible teaches, in a way that is pleasing and honoring to God? How do we know, as believers, how we should live? There's a book back in the 70s that asked that question, how should we then live, by a guy by the name of Francis Schaeffer. He did a whole video series asking that question. As we look at the truth of God's word, how should we then live? And the psalmist answers that question. If you want to know how to live, what did he say in that second part of the verse, first verse? By living according to your word. How do we live? How do we get to the end of our life as we look back and we examine our lives thinking, no, my life counted for something. You know, I don't have any regrets. How do we get to that point? How do we live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God? The psalmist says, because I live according to your word. Your word is true. And as I live according to your word, I will be able to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to God. Well, how are we supposed to do that? He continues in verse 10. I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. The understanding of seek there is like if you lost something. Sometimes I'm very forgetful, and I always forget things, especially like when you're my glasses. There's times when I put my glasses somewhere, and I'm not totally blind if I don't have my glasses, but I can't. Everything gets fuzzy in the world. If you have glasses, you understand. If you don't have glasses, praise the Lord. You don't realize how the importance of having 20/20 vision is. But sometimes, because at nighttime I fell asleep on the couch. And I put my glasses somewhere, and then I stumble into bed, and then I wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden I realize I have no idea where my glasses are at. And then I search and I turn the house upside down. And there was one time where I couldn't find it. I couldn't find my glasses. All of a sudden I went to my wife, Marguerite, and said, have you seen my glasses? And she said, no. Where did you put them last night? I said, I have no idea. I just kind of stuck them somewhere and never found them, and I have no idea where they're at. Lo and behold, they were on top of my dresser. Never thought of looking there. But when you find something and when you search for it, it took probably 15 minutes for me to find those glasses. But all of a sudden, when you find them and you find something you're looking for, what happens? All of a sudden, you rejoice. All of a sudden, that lost thing that you are seeking is now found. And that's the mentality of that word. I seek you with all my heart. I go after, I pursue, I run after, and I seek the Lord with every ounce of my being. I desire to know him more and more with every ounce that I am. Just like I look for something that is lost, I seek the Lord. And then verse 11, the second thing that he says there of how do we know, how do we allow our lives to be based upon the truth of God, not only do we seek after him with all that we are, but we also, in verse 11, I hide your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. See, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the privilege that we have nowadays of being able to personally own a copy of the Bible, of God's Word. If you wanted to read God's Word, you would have to not only go to the temple, that was in Jerusalem, but then you would have these gathering places called synagogues that people would come once a week on the Sabbath, which was the Jewish day was Saturday, and they would go and they would have these scrolls and they would pull out these scrolls and read them. That was part of going to the synagogue. That is why Sunday, the reason why the early church moved it from Saturday to Sunday, is because what happened on Sunday, the first day of the week? Jesus' resurrection. And so every time they modeled our gathering times in the individual churches after the Jewish time of going to the synagogues, reading God's word, and being encouraged with each other. And so that's, what, again, that's in Jewish culture, they didn't have a copy of their, personally have a copy of God's word in their house. They had to go to these places. So if they wanted to take God's word with them wherever they went, they had to memorize it. And again, the Psalms, they would sing. They would sing the Psalms every single week. So what happens is that by the age of 12, the average Jewish kid memorized all 150 Psalms. If you were going to be a rabbi, or if you wanted to be a Pharisee like the Apostle Paul, Saul was, you had to memorize the first five books of the Old Testament. That would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Again, our culture, we don't memorize things too well. We don't even know our phone numbers half the time. Someone asks you, hey, what's your phone number? Hold on, let me pull my phone out and let me figure out, can you call me so I can see what my number is usually what it is. But you think about that. The importance of memorizing God's word. Because no matter where you are, if you're in the line of the grocery store, you're in the line of Walmart, you're at the pumping the gas at the gas station, no matter where you're at, you always have God's word where in your heart. And the psalmist says, I have memorized, I have hidden your word in your heart, my heart. Why? So that I may not sin against you. So that I know how you want me to live my daily life. Nowadays, we have no excuse. Yes, we don't know our phone numbers, but we have these devices with us all the time that we can have apps where we can put God's word on, so we can be reading it, we can memorize it, we can hide God's word in our hearts. And I don't think we understand, and that's what the psalmist goes on and tells us here, is I don't think we understand the more we get into God's word, the more we memorize God's word, the more God's word comes into our lives and it transforms our lives because it changes the way we think. There's a guy who is on the radio by the name of, maybe you've heard of him, Chip Ingram. He is a well-known pastor, and if you are in the local Bedford area, he is on 12:30 every afternoon on the Family Life, and you can hear Chip Ingram with Living on the Edge. And he tells a story of how when he was in college, this guy, one of his basketball teammates, I believe, was he was kind of a nerd. No one really wanted to hang out with him. He was just kind of off. But then he came to know the Lord as his Lord and Savior. Chip tells a story of as he goes back to school after the summer break, all of a sudden he sees this guy. And he says there's something different about him. All of a sudden he became the most popular guy on the dorm floor. And everybody wanted to hang out with him. And Chip watched this and was like, went up to him and said, "What happened to you? What changed? Before you were kind of a, what we would say, maybe a loser, and now you're this guy that everybody goes to for advice. What in the world happened?" And Chip said, all of a sudden he looked down and he saw, if you have a shirt on, he had those pockets. He looked down and he had 3x4 those note cards tucked in his pocket, probably about that thick of note cards. And he said, "I just started memorizing God's word this summer." He said, "And it changed my life." And as he is talking to, and again, they Chip Ingram did not go to a Christian college; was a very secular college. As he begins, he said, "The Lord used him in a mighty way, because his life was transformed by the word of God, because he hid God's word in his heart, and the Holy Spirit used God's word to transform his life." Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices that is pleasing and holy to God." And then he goes on, "Be transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind." Hide God's word in our hearts. Why? So that we may not sin against God. Psalmist asks the question, how do we know how to live a life that is pleasing and honoring God? How do we know whose voices we should listen to or whose opinions we should be listening to? How do we know? The psalmist says, seek the Lord with all your heart. Hide God's word in your heart. And then he goes on and says, "And praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice." In verse 14, that word rejoice actually can mean happy. Again, when we think of, how do we experience happiness in this life? How do we experience the joy in this life? Usually, again, our culture tells us, because they spend millions of dollars portraying this, oh, you got to have this type of vehicle. Oh, you got to think this way. Oh, you got to have this type of degree. Or you got to work in this type of field. Or you got to live in this type of house. Or your kids have to go into this type of sport. Or your kids can't do this or that or whatever. And then at the end of time, then you will really be happy. Well, let me tell you, if happiness was all based upon the stuff of this world, guess what? Everybody in Hollywood would be happy. Newsflash, everybody in Hollywood, depressed. The suicide rate in Hollywood is skyrocketing. If money could make us happy, football players, professional athletes would be the happiest people in this world. But though many times, they're the least happiest. According to the Bible, if you want to be happy in this life, the psalmist says, "I am happy," how? "In following your statutes and following your commands." If you want to experience happiness and fulfilled life in this life, if you want to experience life the way God intended it to be to experience, then do it by following his commands. And I understand that's totally against everything we've ever known, because in America, we love our freedom. I mean, our founding fathers, we fought a war, a revolutionary war, over getting us to be free and saying to England, stop, we do not want to listen to your words anymore. And in fact, again, one of the things living in central Pennsylvania, which is kind of fun, is that you have the freedom to kind of do whatever you want to do, especially sometimes depending on where you live with your land. And so we hate when people come and we hate when government tells us, you can't do that. And you're like, really? Who made you king over me? According to the Bible, if you really want to experience happiness in life, you do it by obeying God's word, the truth of God's word, to walk in obedience to him, to seek after him with all your heart, to hide God's word deep within our souls, so that when wherever we are, it affects how we live, so that we can walk and live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God. And I don't say this just because I'm a pastor. I don't say this just because this is something that as a pastor I'm supposed to tell you all. I've learned it myself. The times when I have experienced life to the fullest has been the times when I have walked in obedience to God and lived a life that is pleasing and honoring and going to places that God said, go. And I said, okay, I'll go and I'll tell people there about Jesus. And those have been the most fulfilling times of my life, of walking and living a life that is honoring and pleasing to God. I am happy in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. The psalmist says, I meditate on your precepts, or I meditate on your command. Again, the Old Testament talks a lot about meditation, and it's totally different than what our culture says, uses that word meditation. When our culture usually uses meditation, usually we think of yoga, usually you think of New Age, usually you think of somebody that's sitting, you know, crisscross applesauce and holding their fingers and just sitting in complete silence and maybe saying a few times, type deal like that. That is not what biblical meditation is all about. When the Bible uses the word meditation, it has the image of, since we're in the fairgrounds, like a cow eat its food. If you grew up on the farm, you know cows have several stomachs. And so what a cow does, they eat the grass, they chew it up a few times, then it goes into one stomach, and then they kind of, without being too sick, regurgitating a little bit, chew it up again, and then go back into the other stomach. It's like when you get a really bad steak in a restaurant, and at the end of that steak, you're like, man, my jaw really kills because all I did was chew, 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 chew. That's the image here of meditation. I meditate on your word. I chew on it. I think about it. It is constantly going around in my brain every single moment of every single day. I think about, I'm reading it in the morning, and I'm thinking about what I'm reading all throughout the day. And as I'm thinking about it, as I'm thinking about what I'm reading, as I think about the things that are in God's word, it becomes a part of my life. And I begin to live differently because God's word becomes a part of my life. And it changes how I think. I meditate on your precepts or your commands. I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not forget your word. Again, that question that we started with, what's right? How are we supposed to know what's right in this world? Whatever news station you turn on, you'll get someone's truth. But how How do you know their truth is really right? There's only one way, the psalmist says. If you want to live a life that is right, then follow God's word. Seek God with all your heart. Memorize God's word so the fact that it becomes a part of your life, so it transforms the way you think, so that you'll be able to see when someone says, hey, you need to do this, be like, no, sorry, that's against God's truth, that's not right. And then when you make it to the end of your life, you'll be able to say, I have no regrets. I lived a life that is right, that is pleasing, that is honoring to God. And I've experienced joy and happiness and experienced contentment and experienced the way God intended this life to live. But it starts with building our lives upon the truth of God's word. In a few moments, we're going to sing another song. But at the end, after we sing the song, and after there'll be a break of between the service and the next band that will come. And I want to just offer to you as a gift, this free gift. You don't have to pay for it. But I'm sitting down here in that purple chair. Yes, I'm a man, and I can sit in a purple chair, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm sitting down here, and if you don't have a copy of God's Word, if you don't have a Bible that you can read, that you can start reading through it and building, and again, doing what verse 11 says, hiding God's Word in your heart so that you may not sin against Him. If you want to get to know what God is like and your Heavenly Father and how much He loves you and cares for you, I would love to give you a Bible. And if there's kids here and you like, well, I have books if you want to know about Jesus, specifically just for kids, that will walk you through the life of Jesus. And the reason why, again, the church that I pastor here in Bedford, the reason why we do this all around the town, just give out God's word for free, no strings attached. And the reason why we do that is because of these verses. We want people to build their lives upon the truth of God's word. We want people's lives to be transformed. We want them to seek after God with all their heart. Because then and only then will they truly be happy in their life.